I want to read tonight from Isaiah chapter 6, first of all. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is purged, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Verse 11, Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now another reading in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, the last book in the Bible, chapter 20, reading from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, or Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Our final reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Reading from verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 39, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. Now, what is before me for the opening of the meeting this evening is to direct your attention for a little time to what I would see in these verses as three great sights. You know, the Bible says the eye is never satisfied with seeing. That's what keeps our travel agencies in business, by the way, because there's always something else that man would like to see. And right round this world of ours, due to the rapidity of jet travel, it's possible to leave Vancouver and in a very few hours be in many, many parts of this world. And so men are seeking the sights. But my friend, the greatest sight that air was seen in this world was what we read in Luke chapter 23. A lovely man that was sinless, nailed by hands and feet to the cross, and God looked down from heaven, and he saw his own son, bearing shame and scoffing rude, the hymn writer says, In my place condemned he stood. The greatest sight in all the universe of God was when Christ died for our sin. We read all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. But I want you to think of Isaiah chapter 6 for a few moments this evening. I want you to think of this man that had a sight of the glory of the one that sits upon the throne. Isaiah tells us of the experience of King Uzziah. And I want to apply this tonight as the experience of those who are saved in this gospel meeting. If, friend, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you'll readily relate to what I would say about Isaiah chapter 6. First of all, as he describes this occasion, when he saw those holy beings that were proclaiming from God's throne something of his holiness, and not only that, they were dispensing mercy to the sinner. Isaiah says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He remembered when this happened. You see, friend, if you are saved tonight, you can readily remember when this great event took place in your life. the greatest of all happenings. When as a poor, burdened sinner, for the first time, you realize that when the Savior died, He was wounded upon the cross and bruised because of my sin. I'll never forget that moment. I love to go back to that Monday morning in a little town away in the north of Ireland. A burdened soul, just a lad, burdened in my sin, afraid of meeting God. When I realized that that's the reason Jesus died, He was wounded and bruised for me. Tell me, friend, do you remember when this took place in your life? Can you look back over life's little day up to this moment? Now I'm not asking you when you became a church member or when you were baptized or any of these things. But friend, has there ever been a moment when as a lost sinner you came to Jesus weary and worn and sad? Oh, friend, that's the greatest moment in anyone's experience. Those that are saved in this meeting, they remember when it happened. Well, I want you to think, too, that this man recognized something of God's holiness. These holy beings, seraphim, rank of angelic intelligence. God tells us they had six wings. They were proclaiming holiness at the throne of God. With those wings, with twain they cover their face, with twain they cover their feet, and with twain they did fly. And this was what this man heard. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is filled with His glory. Ah, friend, listen tonight. I want to remind you of this, at this point in the meeting, that the God that we represent is a God who is holy in character, one that hates sin, the awful sin, in this world of ours tonight. I don't know so much about Canada, although I was born here, but across the line in the States there are 10,000 teenagers that leave home every week. 350 of them commit suicide every week of the year. Why is that? It's because of sin. Friend, God is a holy God, and He hates sin. The Bible tells me He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And I don't know the sin in your life tonight, but God knows it. And my friend, the Spirit of God can single you out in a gospel meeting like this and convict you of this fact, that God is holy, and I'm just a sinful being, unfit for His holy presence. My friend, that's the first step towards salvation. He recognizes that God was holy. But more than that, he realizes something of his own unworthiness, his own sinfulness. Listen to the language of this man. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Here's a man that's realizing not only that God is holy, but that he is nothing but a sinner. You know, we look at people tonight, and we see them in various ranks of society. And you know some likely, and they're away down in the gutter of sin. And you say, "I would never associate with them. I would never stoop to what they do. But I want to tell you, friend, God says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some years ago, we were having meeting something like this, and another man and I visited a dear lady that was coming to the meetings, a very religious lady, and she had an awful problem seeing that what God said about her was true. We went over the Word of God with her. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the very best that we can do. God says they're just like filthy rags in His sight. And finally I said to her, referring to a lady that lived at the other end of that town, a very noted sinner in that community, I said, what if I brought Mrs. So-and-so into your room and asked her to sit down beside you there on that sofa, and I read this verse to you, there is no difference in God's sight, no difference between you and her. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I thought she was going to put us out. She wasn't ready to face what God said. But my friend, that's what God says about all of us tonight. Isaiah tells us in chapter 1 that from the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Unclean, unfit for God's heaven. But you notice it says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim. You see, when this man was recognizing that God was holy and that he was sinful and unworthy in the sight of a holy God, he's now in the right place for God to work. You see the movings of the Spirit of God in the salvation of sinners as I apply this tonight. When the sinner realizes, I'm unfit for heaven. I'm just a poor lost sinner. I deserve to be in hell. Ah, friend, then flew one of the seraphim. You see, the Spirit of God is ready. Well, that's what I see illustrated here. As that holy being takes a live coal from off the altar, and he touches the lips of this man, lips that were unclean, and he says, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. My friend, that's what the Spirit of God does sometimes in a gospel meeting like this. A live coal, it can be a verse from the Bible. It may be a verse of a hymn. It may be none of these. Just the simple truth that when Jesus died at Calvary, he died for me. Oh, friend, tonight, I would remind you that there's a God in heaven, and he longs to save. And if there was a soul in this meeting this evening, longing to know peace with God, like this man, thine iniquity would be taken away, and thy sin purged. And then God called this man to serve us. When the cry was made, whom shall I send and who will go? He says, here am I, send me. And he says, Lord, how long? And the answer comes, until the cities be without inhabitant and the houses and the land be utterly desolate. A sight of the glory of our God. But in chapter 20 of the Revelation, I want you to think, friend, of a sight of his greatness. We read of that scene that we know as the Last Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. This, friend, is not to determine destiny. You see, your heaven or hell for eternity depends upon what you do with Jesus while you're in this world. Will you say, what's the Great White Throne for? This, friend, is to determine the extent of punishment. God says the books will be opened, the dead, small and great, will stand before him. Every soul that has died in their sin, God will raise them by his mighty power, and they'll stand in the august presence of that one that's upon the throne. Friend, this is the one that bears the marks of Calvary. This is the one that was nailed by hands and feet to the cross for sinners. It's the Lord Jesus that sits upon the throne. And the day is coming, as God says, the books will be opened. One book that I know that will be opened is this one, the Word of God. The words that I have spoken, John says, the same will judge you in that day. Perhaps verses that you learned in the Sunday school, verses that you learned at your mother's knee, and you've rejected God's Son. My friend, those words will come back to your thinking in that day. Words that you knew would bring life. But then, the book of life will be open. We believe God is keeping records as well. There are record books that will be open. They'll be judged according to their works. We used to sing a little chorus when I was a boy in the Sunday school. My God is writing all the time. And he is. God has records, friend, of every sin. Those sins must be punished. But the book of life will be open. We read those solemn words, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast, literally hurled, into the lake of fire. I would ask you, friend, tonight, is your name in the Lamb's book of life? You see, there's nothing else that matters for eternity. Oh, friend, make sure that your name is there. Seated upon the throne is the Lord of life and glory. But before I sit down, I want to remind you of that sight at the place called Calvary. A lovely man nailed between two malefactors. You remember that motley crowd that cried away with him, "Crucify!" But in those hours upon the cross, as Luke tells us, this blessed one willingly bowed his head. He laid down his life. Friend, there never, never was love displayed like we see at Calvary. Unequal, unparalleled, all the guilt of the human race was upon that blessed one. But in those hours, as he hangs between two malefactors, bearing shame and scoffing rude, he takes the place of guilty sinners. And all the people that came together, we read, to that sight, oh friend, this is the sight that you need in this gospel meeting tonight. A sight of that blessed one suffering for sins not his own. Peter tells us he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Friend, if you would take that in tonight, in simplicity, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for sinner. He died for me. God says it. Simply receive what God says is true. And the moment you do, you'll have everlasting life. You'll never perish. Oh, friend, God help you to get a sight tonight, even as my brother preaches, of that blessed man that took the guilty sinner's place. And if you trust him, you'll be saved for eternity. God bless you.